sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple with Peter, James, John, and Andrew, and they're asking him questions. And he's been teaching them, and we pick up this teaching in the middle, so to speak, actually more to the end, where he's talking about the coming of the Son of Man. And he talks about what it's going to look like, but in those days, right? After the suffering, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And I think a lot of us hear that prophecy that Jesus is repeating, and we've heard it before, and we're thinking, yeah, when that starts, then I'll get straight with God. You know, when I start to see that, then I'll know he's near, and that'll be a good time to get started on this process of being a good, faithful follower of Jesus. And he goes on and he said, you know, he's going to collect up those who are the elect from the four winds, those, you know, Israel is really what he's talking about. He's going to gather up those who have been sent into that have been dispersed. And then he goes into this lesson of the fig tree. And I thought, well, that's a very interesting thing for us this year, isn't it? To hear this lesson of the fig tree starting to bud, and you know that summer is near. And I thought to myself as I was reading this, I said, well, it's supposed to be fall, but I'm really only collecting about one bag of leaves a week. And by this time, I should be collecting about six. So is fall really here? Sort of. But the signs don't really line up, do they? I mean, we can think we got it down, but we really have to wonder, how can we really trust what we see? You know, the neighbors are all putting up Christmas lights, and one neighbor this morning seemed really ready for fall because they had their plants covered. And I'm getting in the truck, and I'm thinking, was it supposed to get cold last night? If it did, I missed it. But we're looking for signs all the time, aren't we? And that's what Jesus is saying. Yeah, but you understand some of the signs that you see. You know this is going to happen or that's going to happen. And then he goes into this concept of being watchful, right? But about that day or hour, no one knows. No one knows. Neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. You do not know when the time will come. Then, of course, Jesus, he always got to give you, you know, he's got to slide one in on you, right? It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. That's the time we live in. Our master is not with us directly. He's within us by the Spirit of God. But we've been each given our work to do. The beautiful thing about a liturgical church, a liturgical calendar, is we set apart these times, don't we? So we have this time of preparation called Advent. A friend of mine used to call it Sadvent. I don't think it's sad. It does have an aspect of, I don't know, penitence. But isn't that what really brings us closer to Jesus? And I have to say to you, when I was doing my preparation and reading this, all I could think about is, I am so grateful for this Advent season. Because you see, my work in the church has become so task-oriented, I sometimes struggle to remember what it's really about. Because there are so many tasks to deal with. Do we have this set up? Is that set up? Did we get that person to do that? Did we check the camera angles? Which usually the AV people remember to come and check. This morning, what was the question? Will there be any surprises today? To which I said, well, if I tell you, they won't be surprises. And what they're trying to do is do their best job. So I try to stay put. They took the markers off the seats that told me how far I could go before I leave the vision of the people at home. And it took time, so I sit still more than I used to. A little. Yeah, they're kind of in agreement with me back there. But everything has all these added tasks to it. It's not enough that we're planning the liturgy and trying to understand what to do and who moves and who goes where. Now we have to remember, what does it look like on camera? is it still going to be engaging enough for the people who are watching, who are unable to be with us, so that they can be with us? Amen? Because that's important. How do we hold the congregation together? How do we hold God's people together? And all of this is just one task after another after another. And I have to say that it's not totally unusual to have tasks oriented to the work. That's what we all do, right? But I used to be able to go months at a time being focused on the reason for the tasks. But now there are so many. I even forget some sometimes. The staff will back me up on that. But there's so many of them now. There's times, those times of sort of having to sit back and remember, why are we doing all these things? Instead of happening every, you know, few months or so, 4 or 5 months, where I'd have to take some time and take a day and sort of get my head back in the game, my heart back in the process that we're in, I have to do that all the time. I have to continually remember, not what I'm doing, but why we do it. Why do we do this? What does it matter? And the thing I know for sure is it only matters if it actually matters. So the beauty of this Advent season is not just we're this much closer to Christmas. The beauty of this Advent season is we have an opportunity to prepare, to remember that we should be prepared for the coming of our King. Jesus is going to come. Amen? I mean, let's face it. There's been days over the last 8 months or so where we're thinking sooner would be better. I mean, honestly, I mean, I would think that, but maybe you all feel different. But I'm just like, you know, now's good because it's... We're so caught up, right? It's like you blink an eye and all of a sudden it's Thursday again. And it's like, well, what happened to the first part of the week? We just do what we can through that day. And I'd say, but this is Advent, a time of preparation. And so it's reminding all of us to say, it's not just about making sure you got all the right things in place and all the right tasks set up. It's more about the changing of your heart. How do we prepare our hearts? And when we prepare our hearts, that's when we're going to see the difference, right? That's when we're going to find ourselves flowing through the call and the work that God's given us to do with great joy and with great ease, quite honestly, without worrying so much, without trying to figure out every detail. And at some point, we just have to trust God, right? And say, okay, Lord, we're going to do the best we can. And then we know that you are going to be there to back us up. So we have this season that is really not so much about the tasks that we will do. It's really about the condition of our heart. How will we spend these next few weeks recognizing that maybe we have a need to grow closer in our relationship with Jesus Christ? And this is where some people may look at it as more of a solemn occasion. And I would say there may be some solemn moments for each of us. In fact, I would go so far as to say there better be some moment in our preparation, being reminded that Jesus is still coming, we don't know when. Are we going to be ready when he comes? Are we going to try and wait till the last minute and sort of jump to it when he comes around the corner? That was always my most exciting thing to do when I was running our business, especially on a Friday afternoon. Everybody's starting to slack. I'd go down to the production area, and as I come around the corner, I can walk really slow and quiet. I come around the corner, and all of a sudden people are jumping off of the table they've been sitting on. They're going, trying to look busy. He's like, oh, the boss is here. Let's look busy. Well, I knew they weren't doing anything before I came around the corner. I'm sure some of you have been in that position. Maybe you've raised children and they, you know, oh, I'm working on my bedroom. Really? You've been at it 3 hours and you haven't even made the bed. They're task-oriented, right? It's not about the wholeness of being complete and having something done for all the right reasons and for the enjoyment of the life that we have. It's about let's get the task done at the very bare minimum. and we'll make sure we get it done when the boss is watching. Well, brothers and sisters, here's the good news and the bad news. He's already watching. The boss is already watching. He knows what you're up to, he knows what you've been up to, and he knows what you need to do, and he knows what you've left undone. And we have this season to remind us, don't forget that. It's about the condition of our hearts, amen? This time of preparation is about that. It's about hearing his word. It's about listening to our very own prayers. And when we do that and listen to our prayers, listen to what we prayed this morning, this first Sunday of Advent. It really sort of brings it all forward for us. It says, Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. All right. Well, we can't just go grab that light. See, that's the light that he pours out on us, right? The light of the world, so that we can be his light in this world. That's about our heart preparation. And not only that, it says this, now, in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, now, our prayer says, now, in the time of this mortal life. So if you've been kind of cruising along in your faith and thinking, you know, I'm good. I'm good enough. I should be able to get a toe in when the boss comes, just enough to keep my job. And then when I see all the signs or when he's actually standing in front of me, then I'll do the rest. So a part of me, there's days I'm thinking, I really hope there's some remedial courses when I stand before Jesus. I'm like, I'm going to need that Christianity 101 so I can get caught up. Or will we use this mortal life to cast away the works of darkness? Then discover that the work he's given us to do is not really a task, is it? The work he's given us to do in this mortal life is to be his hands and feet, to be like him, to do his work and his will, to love our neighbor as ourselves, to do all that he did when he came the first time and walked among us and lived among us, feeding the hungry, healing the sick, raising the dead. And he says to us in this little parable, the master's away. And he's left each of us with our work to do. It's not just about the work. In fact, I would say it's mostly about why. The condition of our heart as we do the work that he's left for us to do. And our prayer says it so well. He goes, why would we do this? So that in that last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty, to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal. Through him. Following the example which Jesus has given us, feeding on his very body and blood, nurturing the Spirit of God that indwells us, allowing him to empower us, opening our hearts, even the darkest corners of them, so that his light can shine within us and cleanse us of our brokenness and our sin and our sorrow and our shame, or whatever it is you may be carrying with you, to find the fullness of what it means to claim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in such a way that you are no longer the person you were. Amen? New creations we are. I've been recreated so many times, he's got to be getting tired of it. Because it doesn't matter what I do, I tend to fall back into these other patterns, and he has to snatch me out of it from time to time. But here's the truth. God can only pull me out of that place when I turn to him and let him. And every single time it happens, and sometimes it's deeper into the darkness of my own soul than others, every time I open the fullness of my sinful heart to him, it creates two emotions. First, I am horrified that my Father knows how broken I am. And then the second is a deep knowledge of his abiding love for me. His broken, damaged servant. And then I walk taller. More internal than external, obviously. But I can feel the weight of my self-inflicted burdens lifted, and the joy comes. Just a foretaste of the eternal joy we will have. I don't want to miss one second of it. Our time to prepare for the coming of our King is now, because we don't know when he will come. So as he shared these words with his disciples on the Mount of Olives, undoubtedly looking over at the temple, which is in very clear view from there. And he says, therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake.